Well, when you wake up, what are the essential things that you do every morning? Maybe it's having a hot cup of coffee or a cup of tea. But most assuredly, eating breakfast is on your daily schedule of things to do. Your body needs it in order to function properly. If you don't get it, you are likely to be cranky or short-tempered or low on energy. You see, God has designed our bodies to be fueled by food. We can go through some stretches of time without eating, but in the end, we need it for our physical vitality. Now, in the same way, every day our souls require sustenance. Our souls require sustenance. And without it, our souls will not function properly. Just as God designed our bodies to be fueled with food, so God has designed our souls to be fueled by His Word. God's Word, the Bible, is the fuel that our souls require for our spiritual growth and vitality. Now, we avoid going through long stretches of time without food. We highly prioritize our physical nourishment. So then why do we not do the same for our spiritual food? Why are we more prone to neglect our spiritual nourishment and push it out for a time that is more convenient for us? Without a daily consumption of the Word of God, we are spiritually malnourished. Now, since God's Word is essential for our spiritual growth and vitality, it is imperative that we prioritize it as much as we prioritize eating food. And so as this new year dawns, I wanted to spend this specific Sunday discussing the importance of the Word of God in our lives and prioritize reading the Word of God. Specifically, the aspect that I'm going to look at most is going to be delighting in God's Word. Delighting in God's Word. The Psalms in particular are filled with statements like, "Your law is my delight." Or, "Because I delight in your law." And there are so many like it. And so this sermon is going to focus on delighting in the Word. Specifically, I want to draw our attention to four questions. First, what does it mean to delight in God's Word? Secondly, why should we delight in God's Word? Third, what does delighting in God's Word do to us? And fourth, how do we delight in God's Word? How do we delight in God's Word? What does it mean to delight in God's Word? Why should we do it? What does delighting in God's Word do to us? And how do we delight in God's Word? Those are the four questions that we're going to look at today. My prayer for every single one of us, myself included, is that we would leave this place with a fire in our hearts to delight in God's Word. My prayer is that we would have a renewed conviction, a renewed desire to delight in God's Word. My prayer for every one of us is that we would delight in the Bible. And so with that said, let's dive into the first question. What does it mean to delight in God's Word? Well, Psalm 1:1-2 tells us what it means to not delight in God's Word. And so let's take a look at those first two verses again and pay special attention to the fact that this seems to be describing two contrasting people. Okay, Psalm 1, starting in verse 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Okay, so verse 2 tells us that those who delight in the law of the Lord, And then verse 1 tells us that there are people who walk in the counsel of the wicked, or who stand in the way of sinners, or who sit in the seat of scoffers. And these two groups, those that delight in the law and those who stand, sit, and walk, right, are contrasting people. They are mutually exclusive groups of people. You can't be someone who delights in the law and also walks in the way of sinners. You can't delight in God's word and walk in the counsel of the wicked. They are mutually exclusive camps. And so to delight in the word, as verse 1 says, is to not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That is, to take advice and guidance from the ungodly. It is to not stand in the way of sinners. That is, to behave like a sinner. It is not to sit in the seat of scoffers. That is, to identify or be a part of the ungodly who scoffs and mocks God. And so to delight in the word of God is to definitively not to think like, behave like, or belong to the camp of the ungodly sinners. To delight in the law of the Lord is to be distinctly different from such an association. Now, that's the negative way to look at it. What about the positive way? The positive way of stating it is to delight in the law of the Lord is to cherish God's word through reading, studying, reflecting, and applying God's word. When you delight in God's word, you will joyfully read it with the intent to study it, reflect upon it, and apply it to your life. Studying it means that you try to understand what the Bible is actually saying. You read the Bible and you try to figure out what the argument that the author is trying to make. You try to understand why he's saying what he's saying. You dig deep into the text. You don't just rake the surface. When you rake, all you get is leaves. But when you dig, you can find gold. So delighting in the word is digging, not raking. Now reflecting on the word is to take a step back and to just think about the text. Just think about the passage that you just read. To consider what this reveals about God. To ponder what it reveals about you or about your relationship with other people. To reflect upon the text is to take a step back and to consider the implications of the text. And finally, applying the passage means exactly that. It means taking what you have learned after studying it and reflecting upon it and putting it into practice in your life. And so delighting in God's word does not lead to a simple reading of the Bible. That is, you don't just read it and it doesn't just go through your mind like water through a pipe. But rather, to delight in God's word means to joyfully read it with the intent to study it, reflect on it, and apply it to your life. It is to dig for gold, not to rake for leaves. And so this is what it means to delight in God's word. And now let's take a look at the why. Why should we do it? Why should we delight in God's word? Well, if we want to know and love God more, then we must know and love His Word. You see, the Bible reveals to us who God is, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it reveals to us who God is. Yes, we can, to some extent, know who God is from nature, right? You can take a look at a sunrise or the peacocks or the ocean, and you can see the power and the majesty and the beauty of our God from looking at nature. That is true. But it is not the full account. You cannot know of the plan from before the foundation of the world, before anything was created. You cannot know of that plan that God had to rescue His people through sending His Son to be our substitute, to rescue us from our sins. You could never know of that plan from just looking at nature. We need the Bible to reveal to us more fully who God is. It is only from the Bible that we know His attributes, that we know of His goodness, of His righteousness, of His grace, of His wisdom, of His wrath. It is only from the Bible that we know of His sovereign control over all things and how He is working all things according to His good purposes and plan. It is only from the Bible that we see His unending, steadfast love for His people in saving them from their sins through sending His Son to die as our substitute. The Scriptures reveal to us who God is. And when we delight in God's Word, oh, we know Him. We know Him more. Now, not only does the Bible reveal to us who God is, but it reveals to us what is pleasing to Him. The Bible tells us how to live in a manner that is pleasing in His sight. It tells us what we should do and should not do that is acceptable to God and that will bring glory to His name. Jesus says in John 14:15, "If you love me, then you will keep my commandments." Now, to be clear, this does not mean that keeping the commandments earns God's love for us. No, no, no. What it does mean is that keeping God's commandments is the evidence that we truly do love God. It's the evidence that we love Him. And so because we love Him, we want to keep His commandments. And so if you love God, then you will be obedient to His commands, which are revealed in His Word, the Bible. And so we delight in the Word because we want to know Him and love Him more. So that's why we delight in the Word. And now let's look at this question. What does delighting in God's Word do to us? How does it change us? Well, there are countless ways that the Word changes us, but I've limited it to just five. As a matter of fact, I had four, but then I had to add another one. So five. You got five this morning, and again, this is not an exhaustive list. So number one, when you delight in God's Word, your relationship with God grows and matures. This should be a surprise to no one here, right? Suppose that you had an acquaintance that you see once or twice a year, maybe for an hour or so. Naturally and understandably, that relationship is going to be more shallow than deep. But suppose you have a friend that you see every day, and every day you're able to talk with them, and every day they see you, and they see you in your highs and in your lows, then naturally, that relationship is going to be deeper. It's going to be more intimate. Now, and the same is with our relationship with God. If we just spend a few hours a month in the Word, we should not expect to have a deep, strong, intimate relationship with the Lord. But if we spend time with Him every day, We get to know Him by reading His Word. Then naturally, our relationship with Him will grow. It will mature. It will become deeper and more intimate. That's the first way that our life changes from delighting in God's Word. Secondly, when you delight in God's Word, you are more naturally guided, sustained, and comforted by the Word in your time of need. The more that we delight in God's Word, the more that you know it. And the more that you know it, the more that it is treasured in your heart, the more that you've hidden it in your heart, then when tough times come, when you need guidance, when you're going through a trial, when you need comfort, the more quickly the Word will just bubble to the surface and help you in your time of need. And so verses like Psalm 32:8 will help you when you need guidance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You say that with confidence, knowing when you need guidance, God is with you and He will guide you. When you're going through trials, Psalm 119:92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Or Isaiah 41:10, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Oh, there's not many that are better than that. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they are a comfort to me. Brothers and sisters, when this word is hidden in your heart, then when you're going through that valley, instead of being suffocated by the negative thoughts and suffocated by depression and suffocated by the things of this world, instead what will rise to the top will be Psalm 23:4. The Good Shepherd is with you. And He will guide you every step through that dark valley. The more that you delight in the Word, the more that it will be on your heart to guide, sustain, and comfort you. Third, when you delight in God's Word, it leads you to be more fruitful and obedient. When we delight in God's Word, then we naturally bear fruit for God. Now, to bear fruit for God means that we live in a way that is pleasing to Him, that brings glory to God, to His name. So how do we do that? Well, we do that by being obedient to His commands and His will, as outlined in His Word. And so when we delight in God's Word, we delight to do God's Word. Delighting in God and in His Word transforms our affections and our desires so that they are in alignment with God's affections and desires. And with these renewed affections, we bear fruit for God through joyful obedience to His Word. And that is why the psalmist says in Psalm 1 that the man who delights in God's Word, in God's law, that is the Bible, he is like a tree that is planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. You see, a person who delights in God's Word and meditates on it day and night is a tree whose roots are down deep in the living water that is God's Word. And so it always bears fruit, and its leaves do not wither. Delighting in God's Word leads fruitfulness and obedience. Fourth reason. This is, again, these are the reasons how God's word, delighting in God's word, affects us and changes us, okay? Reason number four. When you delight in God's word, it helps you to battle sin. Now, this reason is very close to the reason that I just said. Because walking in obedience to God's word means that you're not walking in sin. But I felt that it was important to specifically highlight this reason. You see, we battle sin every single day of our lives. Until Jesus comes or calls us home, we will battle and wrestle with the temptation to sin. This is inevitable and unavoidable. Now, temptation in itself is not sin. Remember, Jesus was tempted in the desert, in the wilderness, by Satan, and yet he did not sin. And so what makes something sin is that when we act upon that temptation, what we do with the temptation is what matters. And so when we act upon the temptation, then it becomes sin. And so what we do in that brief time following temptation is crucial in our battle against sin. Now, if you delight in God's word, then when temptation comes, sirens will go off in your mind warning you of the impending attack. And then scripture that you have meditated on, that you have delighted in, that you have memorized and treasured in your heart, will come to mind as a sort of sword to fend off the temptation of sin. But if you don't delight in God's word, then when temptation comes, it's like your security systems are down. Without God's word as your weapon, all you're left with is logic and willpower, both of which are easily overcome by temptation. And you will fall to sin. You see, brothers and sisters, if you saturate your mind with God's word, then it is more likely and more quickly to come to your aid in your time, in the time of temptation. This is why the psalmist says in Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. But if God's word is something that you spend very little time on, then his word will be vague to you. It will be cloudy. And it will not come so quickly to your aid when temptation comes. And so delight in God's word in order to better battle and wage war against your sin. Fifth and finally, when you delight in God's word, it helps you to trust him more as you see him work throughout history. I said a few weeks ago how the Bible is not a fairy tale. It's not a book of myths. This is real. This really happened. This is history. I tell this to my children every night, almost every night, that I read the Bible. This really happened. And so this is real history. The Bible details what actually occurred in human history. And so God really did create everything out of nothing. He really did flood the earth in the days of Noah. He really did open the barren womb of 90-year-old Sarah to give birth to her son Isaac. God really did crumble down the walls of Jericho with a shout. God really did part the Red Sea and send the plagues upon Egypt to rescue and redeem his people. God really did cause the sun to stand still so that Joshua and the armies of Israel could defeat their enemies. Just think about it from a cosmic standpoint, what causing the sun to stand still, what God would have to do. Planets would have to stop their orbit. Gravity would have to be held in its place. All of that done by God's mighty hand just so his people can defeat their enemies. This is history! Sorry, I get excited. Falsetto apparently is what happens when I get excited. All right. Where was I? Oh, so I'm standing still. Okay, I did that. So God did really sustain his people when he brought them out of the exile, right? He sustained them in the exile. And then do you know what? He turned the heart of Cyrus, the king, so the people could go back to Israel. That happened. There was really a king who did that. And most importantly, God really did send his son Jesus. He really did. And Jesus really lived a real life in the flesh. And he went to the cross and he died. He paid for our sins to rescue us. This really happened. This is history. Now, why did I do that? Why did I go through that? Because the more that we delight in God's word, all of it, Old and New Testament, the more that we will see how God has worked throughout history. And the more that we see God working throughout history, the more that we will see him to be faithful and trustworthy and good and powerful. The more that we see him in that vein, the more that we will trust him in our stories. When we see him working in his story, in history, we trust him in how he's working in our story. And so delight in God's word and see how faithfully he's acted throughout history. And as you do so, you are changed such that you trust him more. Now, all of these changes, these five changes that I just said, and the countless more, all occur naturally upon delighting in God's word. These things naturally happen the more and more that we spend in his word. These things happen in increasing measure the more that we increasingly delight in God's word. And so, if you want a deeper relationship with God, if you need guidance in decisions or to be sustained through trials and hardships or comfort in your sufferings, if you want to bear more fruit for God in your daily life, if you want to be more victorious in your battle against sin, if you want to trust God more, then read your Bible and delight in his word. Delight in God and in his word, and just see how he transforms your life. Here's the final question, and this one's a little bit more application. How do we do it? How do we delight in God's word? As I said earlier, to delight in God's word is to cherish. It's to cherish his word through reading and studying and reflecting and applying it to your life. But how do we do this? I'm not talking about the physical, mechanical act of reading, studying, reflecting, and applying. That is, for the most part, self-explanatory and is the focus of a different conversation. I'm talking about how do we cherish it? How do we delight in it? I'm commanding an emotion. How does that work? How do we say along with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How do we say that from the heart and truly delight in God's word? Let me suggest two ways to help us, myself included, to delight in God's word. The first thing to do is to pray. It's to pray and ask God that he would help you to delight in his word. And be prepared, brothers and sisters, to do this every single day. Let me tell you, every day I plead with the Lord, God, open my eyes to see wonderful things in your word. I plead with the Lord, God, please open my eyes so that I may see your glory in this word. That as I read it and study it and reflect and apply it, that I would see your glory. I plead with God and ask him, God, give me new taste buds on the tongue of my heart so that I may taste and see that your word is good, that it is sweeter than honey. Just because I'm a pastor does not mean that every time I open the word, that naturally it is my delight. A few hours before this service, I'm over there praying, pleading with God, God, please, please help me to delight in your word. Delighting in God's word is not necessarily natural. It is a gift that God gives his people. I would imagine that I am not alone and that I need prayer every day to ask, God, help me to delight in your word. So how do we delight in God's word? First, you must pray and ask God to give you a heart that will truly cherish his word. And second, you read the Bible. You commit to reading the Bible every day. This is not a fake it until you make it kind of thing. This is an act of faith. You cannot delight in God's word unless God gives you new taste buds to delight in his word. But also, you can't delight in God's word if you don't read it. Both things are necessary. And so it is an act of faith. You pray for the ability to delight in God's word. And then you read in faith that God will answer that request. Be like the man who said to Jesus, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. Maybe change the cry of, God, I do delight in your word. Help me in my lack of delight. All scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is to be delighted in. But if you are in a particularly rough patch, then may I suggest focusing on God's miracles or God's precious promises. Read the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2 and delight that God, there was nothing, right? There was nothing. And God just merely spoke. Falsetto again. God merely spoke. And everything came into being. He said stars. And hundreds of billions of stars flew into the galaxy and were placed exactly where they needed to be. One word. And hundreds of billions of stars, hundreds of millions of light years away, like that, instantaneously hung in the sky. Read about how God miraculously provided bread from heaven for the Israelites and sustained them for 40 years in the desert. And then reflect on how Jesus is the true bread from heaven who has come to fully satisfy, sustain, and nourish our souls forever. We will forever feed on the bread of heaven, which is Jesus. Read about how Christ miraculously cleansed the leper, or cast out the demon, or he opened the eyes of the blind, or healed the cripple. And see the compassion and the love of our God. Read God's promise about how he will never leave you nor forsake you. And rejoice. Rejoice that we have a God who is there, who is never absent or distant, but a God who is there. Read the precious promise of how he will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And then rejoice that we have a God who will supply every single one of our needs, that he will never abandon us, but that he will provide for us. Read the promise that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Christ has set us free. Our guilt has been cleared. And we stand before God, not guilty, but accepted for those who are in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in that, brothers and sisters. Read the precious promise that one day, the dwelling place of God will be with man, and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin, for all those things will have passed away. And delight in the God who holds all of our tomorrows in his good, sovereign hands. When you delight, when you dwell on these things, how can you not delight in God? It is hard to imagine it not leading to true delight in God and in his word. And so delight in God's word by praying for new taste buds and then reading in faith. Let me close with this. Research has shown, or at least it says, that it takes 21 days to form a habit. If you can do something for 21 consecutive days, that will form a habit that you will likely keep up doing. If you're able to extend that to 90 days, then it's almost permanent. And so if you are not in the habit of reading your Bible daily, then would you commit to forming that habit this year in 2023? Would you commit to not just simply reading the Bible, but delighting in it? Do you know what I want in 2023? I want this church to be a room full of trees. A room full of trees whose roots go down deep in God's word and who bear fruit in all seasons and whose leaves do not wither. I want you all to be oaks of righteousness for his name's sake. But that will only happen. That will only happen if you read this and delight in God's word. You will only grow strong and fruitful if every day you are drinking deeply from the word of God and allowing it to refresh and satisfy your soul. And so will you make that commitment this morning? Will you commit to reading God's word every day? Will you join me in the Bible reading plan? It is no joke. 30 minutes of your day to read those four sections. You could do it 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. You could do all 30 minutes at once. Everyone here has 30 spare minutes of time. If you don't, come up to me after service. We'll sit down. I'll hear your whole schedule, and I will find you 30 minutes. No excuses. I will absolutely find you 30 minutes in your day in which you could be reading God's Word. I cannot express enough the importance of this discipline. Every great saint, think about this, every great saint, without exception, has been made great by drinking deeply from God's Word. There has never been a great saint who did not delight in God's Word. And so, if you want to do great things for God, if you want to witness to your family members, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, if you want to be a man or woman of great faith, then you must delight in God's Word. Brothers and sisters, let's commit to be a church of trees who delight in God's Word. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, oh, your word is our delight. Father, I pray that you would give us new taste buds that would delight in your word, that your word would be sweeter than honey to us. Help us, Father, to commit to it. Forgive us, God, for when we stumble and falter and don't read your word, but God, would you help us? Would you make it a priority in our life? Would we not just simply read it like water passing through a pipe, but would we study, reflect, and apply it to our lives? Would it become our delight? Would it be something that we miss if we are not able to do in a day? Would we cherish it? Would we treasure it? And would we store it in our heart? And would it transform us to be men and women of great faith? Men and women who are trees planted by streams of water, whose leaves do not wither, and who always produces fruit. Would you help us, God, to be that? We can't do it without you, Holy Spirit. And so we pray that you would help us and guide us and encourage us to that end. Help us to delight in your word, we pray. In Christ's mighty name, amen.